Welcome back to the OU Daily Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's program and for making it a part of your day on Sunday, the sixth day of the month of Kislev. I hope that each of you had an amazing Shabbos. Thank you to our wonderful and generous sponsors, in particular the Schwartz family, for their really incredible continued support, and whose names are prominently listed in the Daily Tehillim email. To sponsor future programs, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. Please note that the deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's program is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my esteemed honor to welcome back to the Daily Call and introduce Rabbi Eli Babich of the Fifth Avenue Synagogue in Manhattan, New York, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Babich slowly reciting our three daily chapters of Tehillim, Perek, Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 23, 121, and 130. And it will be followed by the Mishaberach Lecholim and the Achenu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Babich to learn more about his wonderful community in New York City. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker, Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Babich.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Naftali, for the opportunity to speak on the call once again. It's a great honor for me to be able to address everyone. Just wanted to share some brief thoughts related to the parsha that we read yesterday, Parshas Toldos. Because Parshas Toldos is a parsha dedicated to the life of Yitzchak, to Isaac. And what's interesting about Yitzchak's life is that although he may have lived longest of all the avos, of the forefathers, he lived 180 years, the Torah records the least amount of information about Yitzchak, about Isaac. There are three parshios that discuss the life of Abraham, around five, six parshios that discuss the life of Yaakov, but Yitzchak doesn't get much attention. He seems to be shortchanged. He's not granted equal airtime. There's less written about Yitzchak than the other forefathers. And in general, it doesn't appear that Yitzchak's life was as adventurous as the other forefathers. He seems to lead a rather simple and ordinary life. Where are all his adventures, his challenges, his success stories, his fabulous achievements? The Torah doesn't tell us much about Yitzchak, and the question is why. What is a deeper message hinted over here? So I'd like to share with you an idea that I heard from the late professor, Elie Wiesel. And Elie Wiesel was actually a member of Fifth Avenue Synagogue. We were blessed to have him pray with us regularly, Shabbat after Shabbat, for many, many, many years. And Elie Wiesel was quite fond of the biblical personality of Isaac, of Yitzchak. And he would often speak about him during his lectures. Why did he have such an affinity to this individual, to Yitzchak? Because he viewed Isaac as the story of the first ever Jewish survivor. And he would find parallels between Yitzchak as a survivor and the contemporary survivor that we know. He said Yitzchak endured a most harrowing and traumatic experience, a near-death experience, yet survived, just like the modern-day survivor. Yitzchak came close to being offered as a burnt offering, just like the survivor of today. The Akedas Yitzchak, the binding of Isaac, was a truly traumatic event for Yitzchak. First of all, God never appeared to him to tell him to do it. Hashem only appeared to Abraham. And Yitzchak needed to trust his father that this was divine will. And this must have been a real shock for Yitzchak, because his father was known as a kind-hearted and gentle individual. His father went around the world teaching that child sacrifice was wrong. Now he was asking to kill his own son. Yitzchak, from his perspective, must have been a bit confused. And although Yitzchak did not lose his life in the episode, his mother did pass away, Sarah, out of the shock of the news of what happened. And according to some opinions, Yitzhak was also injured in the process of the binding of Isaac. His eyesight was somehow damaged, and that's why he had trouble seeing in Parshas Toldos. So Yitzhak experienced a highly traumatic event. And according to Elie Wiesel, Yitzhak Isaac represents all the children who saw the raging fire, but yet lived to see another day. So Professor Wiesel had great affinity to the story of Yitzhak and the binding of Isaac, because in it he saw a reflection of himself and the other survivors of his generation. And what Professor Wiesel, Elie Wiesel, found so meaningful about the story was how Yitzhak lived his life afterwards. How did he respond to these traumatic events? He had all the reason in the world to become resentful, cynical, and apathetic. He could have rejected and abandoned his heritage, just like Esav did. But you do not see any of that. How did Yitzhak live afterwards? He lived a normal, calm, and successful life. He married, and the Torah says he loved his wife dearly. He had children, and he did his best to raise them properly. He composed prayers, and the Torah tells us he was very active in business and had a successful career. You know why Yitzhak was so great? Because he taught us that you can brush off devastation and still live a productive, normal, and successful life. Yitzhak was a comeback kid. He taught us that the world can collapse around you, and you can still manage to find the ability to rebuild a life for yourself. And this is truly a great skill, a heroic feat. Not everyone is capable of accomplishing this. Rabbi Sachs, love of Shalom, said that when Noah's world crumbled around him, he was not able to rebuild the world after the flood. The first thing he did when he left the ark was plant a vineyard, and he got drunk. The pain, the trauma, the loss that surrounded him was too acute for him to handle. Yitzhak's greatness was that he taught the Jewish people that you could suffer trauma and you could still rebuild. So this perhaps is what the Torah means by portraying Yitzhak's life in rather ordinary terms. The Torah is really describing Yitzhak's greatness. Despite everything he went through in life, all the difficulty, he was able to live a simple, normal, and productive and meaningful life, a truly heroic feat. For Yitzhak, the ordinary was extraordinary. And this, of course, is going to be our challenge in this COVID and post-COVID reality. Many people have experienced much suffering and difficult experiences. And the challenge is, can we rebuild? Can we brush off the dust of all the challenges and the trauma and rebuild a normal, successful, and meaningful life, just like Yitzhak did when he experienced difficulties in his life? May Hashem hear all our prayers and bring happy occasions to our people and the world at large. We're going to continue by reciting three chapters of Tehillim, three Tzrachim. We'll begin with chapter 23, Perek Chaf Gimel. Mizmor le David, Adonai ro'i lo echzar, b'no'os desha yarbitseni, al mei menuchas, menuchos yinhaleni, nafshi yishovev yanchini, b'magle tzedek l'man shemo, gam ki eilech b'geit sal mavet, lo ira ra, ki ata imadi, Shiftahol Mishantefa, Hema Yinatamuni, Tarok Lachanai Shulchan, Neged Torai, Ishanta Beshemen Roshi, Kosi Rebaya, Achto Vachetid Yurdefuni, Kol Yemechayai, Beshavti Beveif Adonai, Leorech Yamin. Chapter 121, Tarokos Chaf Al. Shir La Malos, Esa Inai El Haharim, Ma'ayin Yavo Ezri. Ezri me'im Adonai, Ufei Shamayim Va'aret. Al yitem amot raglecha, al yanum shomerecha. Hinei lo yanum v'lo yishan, shomer Yisroel. Adonai shomerecha, Adonai tzolacha al yad yiminecha. Yomam Hashemesh lo yakecha, vayireach balayla. Adonai yishmorcha mikol ra, yishmor eshnapshecha, Adonai yishmor tepcha uruecha, miata fiyad olam. Chapter 130. Shir hamalos, mimamakim chasicha Adonai. Adonai shema bekoli, tiyena oznecha kashuvos lekol tafanunai. Im avanos tishmar yach, Adonai mi yamod. Ki imcha hasicha, leman tivarei. Tiviti Adonai kivisa nafshi, delidbero hochalti. Nafshi l'Adonai mishomerim laboker, shomerim laboker. Yechal Yisrael el Adonai. Ki im Adonai hachesed, v'habei imo fedus. V'hu yifteh es Yisrael, mikol avonosav. We will now continue with the Mishberech L'Cholim, the prayer for those who are ill. I will pause and allow people the opportunity to add the names at the appropriate time. Mishberech Avosenu Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov Moshe Aaron David Yishlomo Mimosenu Sarah Rivka Rachel Belaya V'Yivarech Re'Pei Es. Please add the names. Bisof Sha'ar Chole Yisrael, Ba'avur Sha'anachu Mispalim Bavuram, Yitzchar Zeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yimalei Rachanim Aleihem, Lachlimam Ulurkusam, Lachafikam Ulchayusam, Bishach Lehem Refuah Shleima, Min HaShemayim, Refuah HaNefesh Urefuah HaGuf, V'chol Ivareihem V'Gibeihem, Hashta Bagla Yizman Kiriv Nomar Amen. We conclude with the reading of Achinu. Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael, Anisdinu Mitzaru Uvishivya, Ha'omdin Bein Bayam Uvein Bayabasha, Hamakam Yerachem Alehem, V'yotiyem Mitzaru Lirvacha, Me'efeila Le'ora, Mishiba Le'gula, Hashka Bagat Uzman Kariv, V'nomar Amen.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Babich. It's great to have you back on the call. Last time we had you on was a while ago, back in May. May 26th, to be exact, and I remember that date because it's our wedding anniversary, my wife and I. So the most important thing is that I remember the date of our wedding anniversary, but easy to remember the last time we had you on. So it's great to have you back. As we transition into the next segment of our call, which we did not have at the time when we had you on back in May, but first and foremost, how are you and your family and the community doing?
Baruch Hashem, we are well. Thank you for asking. Our family as well, our children are in school, good schools, which makes a big difference in their lives and in the life of the family. And the shul, thank God, is fully functional as before. We have minyanim each and every day. And we just reverted all our programming to online programming, but we have a very active online program schedule throughout the week. So we have the minyanim daily, thank God, Baruch Hashem, since the summer. And everything that's not essential to be done in person, we're doing online.
Unbelievable. So to get us started, for our listeners who may not be as familiar with your community, if you could give us a brief overview of the shul, the Fifth Avenue Synagogue, and really the community of, the Upper East Side in general.
Sure. So the Fifth Avenue Synagogue is located on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, just down the block from Central Park. And it's in existence for 60 years. And it's a truly, truly wonderful and enjoyable community to be a part of. We're involved in the community for seven and a half years so far, thank God. And even though it's located in a big city with lots of people around, it does have a rather out-of-town feel to it. Because we put a great amount of effort, the staff and the shul and the leadership, to create a warm and intimate environment, a personalized feel, so that when you come to shul, you should feel noticed and comfortable. That's really how we try to guide the environment of the shul, to give a little bit of a personal touch in the big city. It's a very diverse community, people of all different backgrounds and religious levels. We have many visitors that come from around the world, because it's near many of the hotels. In Israel, you have whole array of Israelis and travelers that come in the summer. And, you know, it's really a wonderful place, a very warm place. We have a very, very active programming schedule, events and shiurim literally every day of the week for the most part. We have many speakers that come during the year. We have a very exciting speaker schedule, from Israeli politicians to rabbis and or different organizations. And we have a Daf Yomi that's now on online, and you can call in and all our classes. Baruch Hashem, you know, my wife and I, my family, we truly are blessed to be part of the community.
Truly amazing. And I think one of the silver linings, one of the blessings of COVID, at least one of the cause and effects, is that with so many shuls, so many institutions going virtual, you could be living anywhere. You're living in Australia, but can go on the Fifth Avenue Synagogue's website and be able to partake in so much of the program that's happening there and in so many other places truly around the world. Next question for you is, what motivated and really drove you to go into the rabbinate, specifically to become a pulpit rabbi?
So it wasn't an active decision that happened at any point in my life. It's rather something that had to evolve, and one thing led to another. I always wanted to be a connected to the Jewish community, and I had a strong affinity towards outreach. So when I graduated Smicha, I got involved in a cure of an outreach organization in Manhattan that focused on Birthright alumni. When the students, or the participants of Birthright would return to New York, which there were many, many thousands of them, it was an organization that would cater to them, Shabbat dinners and programs. So I spent a lot, many, many years with them, over, you know, 10, 15 years, between 10 and 15 years, you know, working with them. And as I got married, my wife also wanted to be very much involved and integrated in people's lives. So we further invested in it. And during that period of time, there was one program that ran out of Fifth Avenue Synagogue, an outreach program. And I began working for that program. And I got to see, I got exposed to the Fifth Avenue Synagogue and the community, and a wonderful community. So a number of years later, when an opportunity they were for it to serve as the assistant rabbi, they were looking for, the position was open. So my wife and I thought it would be a nice compliment for the work we're doing in the outreach, because at the time we knew many, many young professionals in Manhattan that were looking for a shul to connect to. So we thought the two positions would complement one another. And, we joined the shul as an assistant rabbi and then eventually associate rabbi. And thank God we've been around for 7.5 years, and then we're truly, truly blessed to be in this position.
Amazing. Well, really incredible how life's path took you that way, and really a major gain and a positive for your incredible shul for the Fifth Avenue Synagogue. Last question for you for today. We've experienced so many changes. Who would have thought when we had you back on in May that we would still be on these calls here now in late November? But it's where we find ourselves, even though there is hope with potential with the vaccines. We'll see where that goes in the near future, but certainly, and that's always the theme of our calls each and every day, is one of optimism and hope. So when we talk about the different changes that our communities have experienced, and I'm speaking more than just Zoom or going online and the virtual aspects or the social distancing and the mask wearing, when you think about how your community has been impacted and perhaps what maybe some of the new norms might be, what communal changes do you anticipate for yours and really the broader Jewish community and what we hope, please God, soon will be a post-COVID-19 world?
So it's a good question. I think you kind of alluded to what I would think would be the outcome. And I think there's a tremendous opportunity that's going to emerge after this COVID reality. Ironically enough, that was generated due to the situation, you know, and that is this ability to go global and the ability to reach more people than ever before. You know, ironically enough, even though we have less interpersonal interactions in the shul, we probably have more people learning now than ever before. And people have told me that have been participating in more lectures than ever before, because the online venue and the people being forced to learn how to use the online venue has actually, ironically enough, created more opportunities to learn and to grow and to spread ideas. So I think, you know, what every community is going to have to do when it's all said and done is to look at this period of time, this 6 months, a year, whatever it may be, and to understand lessons that they could apply to post-COVID, you know, which programs, which ideas that were successful during COVID, can we continue on even post-COVID and actually maximize the exposure that people have to Torah and learning. And I think this is going to be a real opportunity that's going to develop after it's all said and done. I know we at Fifth Avenue Synagogue are already talking like this. You know, we created certain programs that have been very successful that we now maybe continue even after COVID, all online. And so we'll never replace the in-person. But I think now that people are trained to be able to use Zoom and other sort of platforms, similar platforms, and that we could actually expand our reach that beforehand we were limited. And I think there's going to be a real opportunity for further growth and learning that's going to emerge after this horrible epidemic of Please God comes to an end.
I would agree. I think it's a great takeaway and a great perspective. Rabbi Babich, thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us with a picture of your wonderful community, as they are with all of Klal Yisrael and of the entire world. Our thoughts and our tefillot, our prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, growth, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and a refuah for all of those in need will be answered with tova for good. And may the Ribbono Shel Olam, the master of the world, please speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow, Monday, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for words of inspiration from Rabbi Yitzi Sprung, who's the assistant rabbi at Congregation Or Torah in Skokie, Illinois. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe day.